Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Yeah, welcome. This is a Sweet Talking Sport on Sheffield Live, like they say, 93.2 FM, also available on DAB Radio, Friday the 2nd of May. This date will never, ever come again. How about that for a boss kind of like introduction, you know? Sweet Talking Sport is straight to the show, chat show, that deals with stories and interviews and join an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to discussion on sporting events, whether local, whether national. On air, good expansive debate, analysed by myself and guests. Obviously, I'm on my ones this evening, but like the same show business, the show must roll on. And all the regular programming, you're going to get it right here on 93.2 FM, probably Yorkshire's best talking sports radio chat show you'll ever hear. And me, I tell you that, you know. So without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, please keep this show to yourself and promise me that. Yo, you know something? I just, you know, before I kind of like really get into this, something this evening, yeah? Because, you know the man them call CV, the teacher, the ruler, the educator? Well, I'm going to put him in detention right now, because about 3 weeks ago, yeah, CV said, I can't bust these kind of tunes on here, yeah? Hear this, live and direct, you know? And I know you're on your way to, you know, the Etihad to watch your beloved, okay? But you're listening to me right now. Like I said, you're in detention, yeah? And you can't come out until you get dismissed. Do your homework, boy. Yes, I am. G, don't present, yeah? Out sunning it. But I want to start off with the boxing. I have to start off with the boxing. You know, it's a given, yeah? So, finally, Eubank Jr. and Conor Benn, yeah? Prepare to settle their rivalry toe-to-toe in the ring last Saturday on April the 26th, Spurs Stadium. So, I'm going to kind of really kind of break it down, really, you know? What a fight it was, well anticipated, and a lot of hype was about whether Eubank Sr. would show up. Well, he did, in fine style. So, you know, so far the two of them have demonstrated how boxing isn't just a sport, but, you know, gladiator style, you know, emotions and all that was kind of like running high. Tempers also flared before the start at the press conferences, and we can't forget the boiled egg, you know, side of Connor's right hand jaw, you know, scramble him, you know. So Eubank and Ben, you know, these two guys was kind of like really kind of like you know, all over the place. And not just that, it was the history of of the fighters also as well. The fighters kind of like, you know, had history from their pops, you know, back in the days. And I can remember I went to Old Trafford and watched the Judgment Day against Eubanks Senior and Conor Benn. And that fight, as we all know, ended in a draw. And I can remember a discussion with a guy who was sat at the right-hand side. And I said, you know, this is the draw, this fight. And he said, how'd you work that out? He must have thought I was crazy or something. But you know what? I said, it's the time, the taking over the decisions, you know? And I tell you what, yes, afterwards, he said, wow. He says, what a prediction that would have been, you know? But, you know, switching back onto the two boys, Eubank Jr. and Conor Benn. In addition, overall experience advantage of Eubank, you know, averages, what, 6.3 rounds per fight, where Benn was 4.3, I do believe, meaning that Eubank was nearly boxed an extra two rounds per fight, for those who couldn't work that out that quick, which is hard to ignore that, you know, in anybody's fight. So this was it. Who was going to actually win this one? The bigger guy or the most kind of like explosive Conor Benn? Because I, for one, you know, I put my hands up. I didn't think this would go the distance by far. I was saying, you know, it could be all over in five. And credit while credit's due, if one of them kind of like wayward, well, they did lick, not just lick Eubank, but rocked him as well. But if he would have been more accurate with it, it could have been a different outcome quite early on. But with Eubank's, his experience, what kind of put him in good stead? Benn was, you know, kind of like displaying ruthlessness, had that kind of grudge, that aggression. And like I said, the accuracy for me wasn't on par. But, you know, he kind of like weathered certain storms. And who'd you blame for the kind of like the big bombs? You know, not accuracy on his night, because obviously the points decision, what was it, 1-1-12 to 1-1-16. I think for certain, you're going to have to look at his camp, you know, because it's almost like if your shots are going wild, there's something that you're going to have to tweak during that fight. And even though, you know, there was in the pocket, that means toe-to-toe, he obviously threw the dice and come up well short. So, you know, to truly compare this fight and to look at the big picture, you've got to look at, you know, Eubanks' jab. Can't forget that. Because Benn entered the fight, what, 3 inches height and 4.5 inches, I do believe, disadvantage over Eubank Jr. Maybe people just assumed, and I put myself in that as well, that Conor Benn would sort of like, you know, you're talking a Saturday night fight on the streets, you know. Them kind of tactics didn't really seem in good stead, as Benn landed about maybe between 240, 250 shots on a previous fight on Dobson at the beginning of last year. That was what, 42.6, just under 43% of them were jabs, preferring to step in with power shots and close the gap to the taller fighter. And I don't think you can ignore that, you know. Accuracy is an essential part of any fighter, whether that's a street fight, whether that's a boxing scrap, you know, your accuracy, you score points. You know, people can just jab and move and build up the points, while other guys, other women, maybe prefer to kind of like get in there and try to land one on top, you know, with their power shots. Yeah, it can happen. Boxers can get caught. Boxers can get destroyed that way. But you know, again, did Ben take the advantage on that? You know, 44.6 landed on Dobson, where Eubank could only manage 40%, over 40%. Yeah, I'm doing Eubank's junior disservice there. But Ben increased his advantages regarding accuracy when you split his work rate into power shots and actually jabs. Yeah. If you've just joined, you listen to Sweet Talking Sport. CV on his way to the Etihad, and G, you know, enjoying the sun. But like I said, in show business, I said that the show must go on. So, you know, I'm kind of like just me wanna I swing it tonight. Yeah. You know, activity levels. Ben being the kind of like the lighter guy, you could say, but carried that weight really well. So you'd expect the work rate, the lightning kind of like rate, to kind of like be some kind of different, off the scales, you could say. But punches, you know, will just not just win your fights, you know. I'm not trying to educate people on boxing. Done a bit of sparring myself, but never really been in the ring. So people might say, do you know what? What are you talking about? But obviously sport is about opinions, and I put myself in there. I put myself on the line. You know what I mean? You know, but comparing both of their previous fights, Ben, who became known for his high pressure style, you know, average thrown 2.4 and landed, what, 1.4 more punches per round than Eubanks Jr. This is their previous fights. So, you know, in the finer margins, can the difference between victory and defeat, you know, while Ben punches thrown divided by, what, 12 equals 20.5. Yeah, do the maths. Yeah. Eubank punches thrown divided by 7 equals 44.6. Do the maths. Yeah. So then we go on to talked about the levels, body work. You know, the biggest difference between Eubanks and Ben is body punches. Yeah. Ben boxes a more heavier bias on working the body, which is interesting. Yeah. Ben, you know, to slow off the feet of Eubanks, gets past his jab, so can slip them. Yeah. Only what, 23% of punches that Eubank landed on his previous fight were to the body. A surprising lack of variety. You know, some experts probably would have said, you know. But nevertheless, what a incredible kind of like fight. I mean, you know, we go further deeper into it, yeah. Conor Benn, 28, first defeat of his pro career. Via unanimous, I'll say it again, unanimous decision last Saturday night at Spurs Ground. And like I said, it was 112 to 116 in favour of Eubank, 35-year-old. Both boxers went, you know, to the hospital after. Precautions, they said, precautionary tests. However, ended up, what, two beds down from each other. I don't think they kind of like had anything to say in there, but both pops was kind of like, we sat together. That's you know, Eubanks Senior and the original Dark Destroyer, Nigel Benn, were apparently sat together, like I said. But I want to talk about another interesting part, and it's part of the fight, which Eubank actually boiled down. Eubank Senior was saying, you know, he was saying this fight's not going to happen. You know, similar to the first fight, it's not going to happen. He said until the referee said seconds away, and that bell goes, he was convinced the fight wasn't going to happen. But let's get into the nuts and cracks of this kind of like boiling down business. It was what, 23 grams, yeah, over. Let me bring that into perspective, yeah. That's four, I repeat, that's four A4 paper sheets. Four of them cost him £375,000. What I'd like to know is, where does that money go to? Yeah, where does that 375 go to? Yeah, because this was in the contract. Yeah, and then, you know, people are also questioning, while we're on these fines, the £100,000 for smashing an egg in Connor's right hand jaw. Yeah, where does that money go into? Maybe that's for a different time, different place. Yeah, gonna play kind of like devil's advocate here. Yeah. We know that weight classes in competition, okay? Reason being, you know, apart from the obvious, is keep it fair, keep it safe, etc., etc. And to ensure that the boxing skills of the fighters, whether men or women, are fair, yeah? Now, size determines the outcome of a tear-up. People will say that size will determine that, but it's not always that factual, yeah? But they say the law of averages, and I repeat this, the law of averages will probably state that the bigger guy probably takes the tear-up, yeah? So we broke it down a little bit before. Gonna continue on that kind of plateau, yeah? Two factors to consider for me, yeah, just steer with me on this one, right? So we talk about weight, how weight can be lost. Two factors to consider, right? Fat mass and lean mass. We'll strip down the fat mass first. Influence by sex, age, activity, etc. And I'm going to be clear on that. Okay, now in a man, they're saying to be healthy of fat mass is about, the benchmark is about 25%, and it's 5% more in a woman, okay, but Mitch rounds it off at 30%, okay, so stay with me. Like I said, fat mass for a male or a man, 25%, woman, 30%. Now we're going to the lean mass, right? Which basically includes everything. 50% is skeleton muscle. So you're talking your organs, you're talking your bones, yeah? The rest is water. It's as simple as that, okay? So, you know, if people want to kind of like lose weight, they have to make an informed decision. And people will lose weight for various reasons. But in kind of Eubank's his side, we'll kind of like use this as a measure. We'll just talk about Eubank's as a measure. Eubank's Jr., if you've just joined me on Sweet Talking Sport. Okay? So, while preserving lean mass, yeah, especially muscle, because without muscle, you can't do nothing. Yeah? And I have this discussion with CV quite a bit, okay? Maybe not so much as directive as this, okay? So, you know, like I said, muscle which plays a massive role in performance. So if you're going down the route of weight loss, okay, and you're preparing for a fight, yeah, I would probably say that, you know, you need probably anything between 6 to 12 weeks before a fight. But that's depending on your opponent, that's depending on your training history, etc. Okay? But to my knowledge, there's no golden rule how much weight a fight or fighter should drop. Maybe if we kind of like look at 10% of their body weight, yeah, I think that's probably playing it safe. That's probably sat on the fence. 10% of that, okay. So your primary aim is to cut fat without losing strength, okay. So just bear with me that Eubanks Jr., he had to come down, so he had to boil down, right? But he's got to boil down without really losing that strength, yeah? And we know how hard it was for him to do that, yeah? 375,000 squid, that's how hard it was. Four times A4 paper sheets, that's how hard it was, yeah? And you can, you know, so looking at that, you can trust the procedure if you want, and I'll dip back into the Eubank not boiling down enough, yeah? In fact, let me deal with it now. So you're talking age 35. So basically, his body can't take any more. It can't boil down enough, yeah? Remember what we said about fat mass, yeah? Remember what we said about healthy 25%? Well, I'd love to know how much percent was on Eubank Jr. Yeah? Remember what we said, what influenced that? Sex, age plays a massive part in it. Couldn't boil down enough. Yeah? So his body was saying, do you know what? You ain't taking any more off me. This is your limit. I'm spent. Yeah? So no matter, you know, how much nutrition he's dealing with, no matter how much exercise he's dealing with, and the timing of that as well, these are all key factors, okay? So, you know, fasting, dieting sensible, yeah? We'll go into the main routes into weight loss again. So whilst increasing your exercise over a long-term plan, balanced diet focused is on reducing fat mass, but fueling the muscle. Because like I said, without that, you can't do nothing. Yeah? And some people, they'll go to extreme measures. What did we saw? We saw Eubank Jr. posting, yeah, on YouTube, yeah? Like you know, extra layer of clothing, yeah, to sweat it out. Remember what I'm saying. His body says, you ain't taking anymore. Yeah? This is Sweet Talking Sport, 1823. We're getting into this fight. We're getting into the nooks and crannies. Yeah? And for all them man like CV who said we can't bust them tune, we have put them in detention. Yeah, this. Yeah? Rolls Royce. All that. Yeah? So, the extreme measures. Right? So you're talking removing the fluids. So heated activities, you're talking saunas, like I said, extra clairs, extra layers for running, sweating it out, you know, increasing the sweat, okay? And this is what made Eubank Jr. victory more special for me. Unbelievable special. Roll Royce in the background, Willis. So, it's kind of like, yeah, very, 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 very special. And like I said, I certainly, I got it wrong, big time. And I didn't think for sure he would kind of like, you know, go the full rounds. No way on earth. I just thought that. Hear this. I'm going to run it again. Yeah, that the procedure will be parliamentary. Yeah?
You better watch out, dreadlocks. You better watch out.
Tell them, senior.
Oh, yeah, come feel. Oh, sorry. It's my mother's turn again. Come through. You better watch out. Because we're not playing. And out of town and dying. That you've opened up your heart.
Yeah, so just, you know, I kind of like more kind of like going into the breakdown of the fight. And I mean, I don't think many people really would have put that fight going to the distance. I think CV might have mentioned it. That's probably one person I really know. So, I mean, will there be a second one? Well, apparently, Sheikh's saying September. He's booked it for September. That doesn't mean that these two guys, that's Eubank Jr. and Ben, are going to, you know, have another tear out in September. For me, you've made him money. You've got nothing else to prove. The Eubank's name is at the top. Right, top of the pile, okay? And like he says, he can sail away into the sunset and enjoy his dosh, you know, not having to boil down again. I mean, for me, if that was me and I was going to fight again, I tell you what, I'm saying, I'm not boiling down. I'm not doing it, right? So if you want to fight me as I am. So the Ben camp would probably say, well, we've got no chance. Do you know what I mean? Well, that's it. Then you've got no chance of having a fight again. You know what I mean? Because I ain't put my body through that. I've just talked for about, 25 minutes, yeah? I'm boiling down, hitting dangerous levels, yeah? You know, if you get deeper into that conversation, we can take it a level further, you know? I'm not an expert on it, but I'm giving you my opinion, yeah? So, enough of that now. We can't come here on a Friday evening and not talk about snooker, not talk about the Rocket, you know what I mean? The last I know, at one point we were 4-4, then Chow produced a scintillating display of potting, yeah? And we're bussing Sullivan up 12-4, yeah? I mean, I'm tipping this guy to lift the title, which is what, Monday, a few days away, yeah? Because, you know, I didn't see it all, but some of the potting, what Chow kind of like produced, off the shelf, it was wicked, you know. Exciting young player, and maybe that's the way that the youngsters are taking it, you know. Quick playing, get into a good rhythm, yeah. I know, like the guys of like Davis and Hendry and stuff, when they start to age a little bit, they kind of slowed down his game. But, I mean, Steve Davis's game was always kind of slow, really. They called him boring Steve Davis. But you know what? It ain't boring how many titles the guy won. Yeah? So just remember that. Yeah? But Sullivan, 49. Yeah, like I said, he adds that kind of flavour, the spice for me. You know? He made no secret of his struggles. prior to the Crucible, you know, mental health, snapping his cue, all that kind of stuff came into par. I think he busted his cue in January. He decided to get a new tip for the opening session. But that didn't have any kind of impact. Is he missed a series of regular pots, what he'd normally do. Whether you know, you can blame it on the tip, whether it was the pressure, whether it was the demons in his head. There's only Ronnie who knows. Yeah? There's only Ronnie who knows about that. But Chow, a former UK championship winner. Chow competed at amateurs, delivered the sort of cynical performance that suggests he might be ready for the crown. Yeah? You know? And become the first player from China, yeah, to take that title. I don't think the odds, what you would get, I don't think you get good odds now. Not after that display. Before, 100%. But right now, no sight now work like that, you know? You know, so Sullivan, 33 appearance, is it? You know, dismissed in some quarters that had only reached his last four stage duel of shortcomings previously to his opponent. For long times, like I said, it's been evidenced that he's had troubles on the circuit. Is it the one at Alicata? Yeah. And Paul, you know, Sinjai, but also toiled when presented with good kind of like opportunities to make a sizable contribution of his own, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, so, you know, it looks like the Rockets will be kind of bowing out. But yeah, I think they probably would need to put up a sterner, a more stern kind of like display, you could say. Yeah. Switching sports now onto tennis. As we do talk about Willipa different sports. That's the variety, the versatility. What G and CV and myself have. Whether it's football, snooker, tennis, rugby, badminton, whatever, ice hockey, we just drop it. We keep it real, you know. Probably Yorkshire's best talk sport show you'll ever hear. You know, like it says it on the label. But into the tennis, going to talk about Coco Gauff. So Coco Gauff, 21 American. She's into the semi-final, the Madrid Open, against Sabalenka, 26-year-old, ranked number one. Sabalenka has won 3 Grand Slams to Coco Gauff's 1. So they come together head to head in Madrid on the clay. Right, so look at Gauff. You know, who's going to win this one? I think it's 5-4. Gauff takes it 5-4 at the moment. So like I said, this would be the 10th time these two would have sort of like played each other. I'm going to break it down now. This is my synopsis of how things, this is my formulation of things. Yeah, yeah, that word formulation. Well, that. Yeah. So Gauff is a high-achieving individual. Got a wicked, powerful serve on her. Very quick, and a reasonable, decent backhand. 21-year-old looking for a second major. Sabalenka now. dominant player. She dominates play and quite aggressive bass line. Okay, that's like, so you know, if you're into the rallies and that, you put your money on Sabalenka. Very strong. And if you're not really into tennis, make that a date. Check it out and make this your first final you're ever going to see, because you're not going to get two women top of the game right now. Yeah, Goff ranked fourth in the world, Sabalenka ranked number one. So ability on Sabalenka, a force to be reckoned with. So we know that Goff can beat her. She'll be looking to draw a previous meetings to try to get past her again. But you know, yes, it is a difficult one to call. It could be five apiece. It could be five apiece. In fact, I'm not going to sit on the fence. I'll go five apiece, because these players know each other's game. It's going to be a very, very close game. Like I said, the 10th meeting between them, Goff leads that 5-4. Sabalenka won two meetings back last year, including the tight Aussie Open. That was the semi-final. They have played once on clay prior to Goff beating Sabalenka in Rome back in 2021. And that score was 7-5, 6-3. Okay? If you're not really into it, like I said, go and get some medicine. Yeah? Because I'm suggesting, make this one the date and don't be late for it. Yeah? That's the tennis out of the way. I'm going for a 5-5 apiece scoreline. Very tight. You know, I'm not going to sit on the fence, but yes, it can go either way. But I'll go for a Sabalenka victory on that one. Switching sports once again. That's what we do on here. Sweet talking sport. Probably Yorkshire's number one. Yeah. ECB, okay, which is the national governing body, yeah, for cricket in England and Wales, which oversees the development of the sport at all levels. Established back in what? 97, HQ based in London, right? So ECB bans transgender women from women's cricket. Okay, transgender women have been banned from competing in all levels of women cricket with immediate effect. That means now immediate effect in Wales. The England and Wales Cricket Board, I should say, has announced that an update to its transgender regulations for those, you know, who biological sex is female will be able to participate in women and girls cricket, right? The ECB says transgender women and girls can continue play in open and mixed cricket categories, okay? But they're banned from all levels of women's cricket with an immediate effect, right? Now, they're saying that policy change, UK Supreme Court ruling, which was back in April, can't remember the date, but it was sometime, in fact, April the 16th, yeah. April 16th, I think it was. The legal definition of a woman is based on biological sex, okay? Other sort of like regulations, cricket has always aimed to ensure that cricket remains an inclusive sport as possible. That's a statement from the ECB. These included measures to manage disparities irrespective of someone's gender and safeguard the employment of all players. Yeah? We know why that is. remember the Khalif situation. However, given the news, advice received about the impact of the Supreme Court ruling, we believe that the changes announced today are necessary. So they're making big, big steps very quickly. Yeah? The ECB added that based on discrimination has no place in our sport, and that is committed to ensure cricket is played in a spirit of respect and inclusivity. The decision follows an announcement from the English Football Association also on Thursday. Transgender women will no longer be able to participate in women's football as well. So not only cricket now, but football are also saying transgender women. And that is June the 1st. Yeah? Amended rule. April the 11th. Applying strict eligibility criteria for transgender women to continue playing in women's football at all levels. Okay? Now, I can remember having this discussion on here with CV, with G, yeah, about Kirsty Coventry, the first woman to be elected by the IOC, which is the International Olympic Committee president, yeah? Now, this woman, she pipped Seb Coe, because all the leads were saying that Seb Coe will deal with it. It's his position, yeah? Nobody else's. But you know what? I don't feel nothing for that guy, Seb Coe, right? And I'm going to give you my reasons why. Yeah? I'm going to diverse a little bit, right? So, Seb Coe, he appeared on Who Do You Think You Are? Yeah? And on there, it showed his descendants from John Alsterley. Yeah? Who was a painter. There was a Jamaican sugarcane farmer and slave owners. Yeah? George Clark. Remember that name. Okay? And there was also another governor of New York, apparently. And Edward Hyde of Norbury. Now, I'm going to call him Seb Coe. Some people might say, nah, you're being disrespectful because he's Lord Coe. Yeah? But I'm going to tell you how it is, because I think he was disrespectful. Now, two wrongs don't make a right. I'm aware of that. I'm a, you know, big man now. I know them kind of things. Yeah? But Coe was asked a question regarding slavery. Yeah? Because his ancestors, they were slave owners. That's basically it. Yeah? Now, instead of doing the right thing and saying, yes, I can't, you know, change the year. I can't roll back the clock. I can't make right anything. That I can't get away from it. The fact that there was slave owners. And we all know what happened. Yeah? To the slave owners that got compensated. I think that might have been 2015 or something. So not all that long ago. Yeah? So anybody been paying tax, yeah? We've made a contribution to that. I know it's kind of sick, but it happened, yeah? So let me get back to it, the nuts and crans. So they asked kind of like Coe about his ancestries, how they were slave owners and what kind of impact it would have had on people. Now, Coe said he was very proud. I'm going to say that again. Coe said he was very proud of his ancestry, yeah? So for me, there's no place for that in my jurisdiction. No place for it. 1844, Sweet Talking Sport. There's no G, no CV, yeah? But you're in tune to Sweet Talking Sport. And I'll continue to chat it. So big changes now to
transgender, yeah. Immediate effect, like I said, the ECB making changes. So basically, looking at biological sex, you know, as female when you're kind of like when you're born, you know what I mean? And we all kind of like we all kind of know them kind of things about stuff, you know, because the man kind of have with the chromosomes, going back to that, based on biological sex characteristics, including the chromosomes. Me and G had this out last month, you could say, you know, assigned at birth, males X and Y, females 2 X's, yeah. However, I'm not going to get into it deep, however, as stated before on previous shows, there can be a variation of, you know, 2 X's and a Y, which basically will affect the growth, or a combination of X and you can get into the O's as well. But we've been down that avenue before, yeah. So I'm just kind of like clearing a few things up. That was another thing out of the way, dealing with the transgender for women in sport. So they're making things tight, and quite rightly so, because I think things were starting to get out of hand. And since the introduction of Katie Coventry, the first woman to be elected by the IOC president, and let's hope that she's kind of like doing a wicked thing, you know what I mean? So we said that she was going to tighten up. We said that it had to be kind of like almost kind of like overnight, and that's exactly what it were. Gonna talk about John Terry. Not my cup of tea, but we know that he did the London Marathon. He was struggling for a while. Terry took to social media to praise Fitzpatrick, a geezer from Jersey, who gave Terry enormous encouragement. Fitzpatrick ran ahead of him, got him a drink, a bottle of fizzy pop. I believe it was a Coca-Cola. And that would kind of like bring his sugar levels right up, you know? So if anybody's had a serious headache or whatever, migraine, and ice cold Coca-Cola, that will get your blood sugar levels up in seconds. Trust me, it works. I've been there with that one. Maybe that's for another show as well. But Fitzpatrick was supporting his chosen charity at hospice since 22. Had raised nearly, 22 grand. Big tap on the back for that. Terry stood out. He was wearing the same style as running shoes. So they're coming like brothers, innit? You know what I mean? And Fitzpatrick said, to Terry, didn't realise it with Terry at the time, that the greatest marathon runners wear the shoes, and he was kind of like having a couple of chuckles and stuff like that with Terry. But then he kind of slowed down and gave him some kind of motivational bants, which is the banter, yeah, to reassure him that, you know, he was doing fine. The finishing line is achievable. So you're kind of like really looking to perk somebody up in them kind of conditions. So he said, you know, it might look kind of strange, but he took step and came back with, like I said, a Coke. And if you've just been listening to my story, you'll know what Coca-Cola can do. Now, I mean, Terry, yeah, he's people might think, what's he doing now? Well, he's a coach in the Baller League in the Copper Box Arena in London. Reason why I don't really too kind of love Terry, okay? So we're looking at, what, 2009, the issue with Wayne Bridges' missus. We're talking relationships, yeah? You know where I'm going with that one, yeah? 2021. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun here. 2012, yeah? The incident with Anton Ferdinand, yeah? Got racially abused, got found 220,000 squid, yeah? Obviously lost the England captaincy and all that kind of stuff. Terry was basically saying that he wasn't guilty because he wasn't found guilty by a court of law, but found guilty by the FA, yeah? So you tell me, guilty or not. 2021, Aston Villa left quite abruptly. I reckon they fudged it over. Terry claims that he left to pursue a career in coaching and managing, but left abruptly. Maybe the shades of 2009 somewhere creeping in with that one. Yeah? So, yeah, a little bit about Mr. John Terry. And, you know, from time to time, we've talked about, you know, mental health in this game. And somebody, again, who I want to kind of like, I want to sort of like just discuss briefly before we go into the last kind of like ream of this game is Graham Potter. Now, I listened to his interview, and Potter, it was at a breaking point, and I reckon this guy needs to take five, big time. But you're going to hear it right now.
Well, I feel the pressure of 62,000 West Ham fans. It's a massive club with a real desire to do better than we are. So you feel that. So it is that. And I think as you get older, I care less about what you guys think. To be honest, I get older, I care less about what you think. So I'm happy to just be myself. And if myself is, I'm annoyed after we've conceded two goals in 3 minutes. I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't, Gail, because on the one hand, you're having a go at me for being too nice or to do whatever, not saying you, but you're not too, do you know what I mean? You get criticised for being too nice, you get criticised for being too emotional. At the end of the day, we're not winning. And so you have to accept that. And I think my reaction was a human reaction from a football manager that I'd be surprised if there's too many other football managers that would give you any other emotional reaction than the one I got.
Yeah, Graham, a very emotional Graham Potter under immense kind of like pressure here at West Ham. And maybe, you know, because Potter's name, to be fair, it did get branded for the England position. I do believe that they actually spoke to him. But, you know, that, he hasn't really come out with that, but, you know, that's one extreme of the job.
You get free, like, free travel and buses and stuff, don't you? I've no idea.
Just going to have a little bit of fun now. Shearer, Lineker, Michael Richardson, having a few giggles with them. Listen to this.
Gaza, what idiot turns down Man United?
I'm going to rewind this from the start. Listen to this. This is live and direct, yeah? Sweet talking sport.
I've got a question, if you don't mind, for you.
Oh, yeah.
When was the last time you used public transport?
I hear the bell, exactly, and that's not my bell in my room.
I told him something that happened to me. You bugger.
Tell us, come on.
Okay, I'm on Friday. I get public transport all the time. I get the, I live near the train station. I walk there. I get trains into London. I get the tube everywhere. And I was on the tube on one day last week, towards the end of the week, and it was absolutely jam-packed, right? Jam-packed. There's standing room everywhere, right down the middle of the train. Couldn't move. And there was a young lady sitting on her seat, and she looked up at me, and I was stood there, and she went, "Would you like a seat?" No, fine, thank you very much. And the thing is, about two or three people heard it on the thing. And I could see shoulders going. Everyone, God, she killed me.
Can imagine if CV, G, Captain Mo, you know, and I was on that tube as well. Why? We'd have had a field day. Last few minutes now. Not wasting any more time, but Sheffield United, Blackburn Rovers, last match of the season before they enter the playoffs. For me, I won't risk the big time, the game changers in this one. Blackburn Rovers have to win it to, you know, have any chance of getting into the playoffs. Blades finished a good third, respectively behind Burnley, who were just like a train. The last parts of the season, and Leeds United always kind of favourites to go up. Well done to Burnley and Leeds United. So that's tomorrow at the Lane, 12:30 kickoff. Then the Owls will play Watford, I do believe. Both these kind of like teams basically got nothing to play for. Watford, 13th, Owls, 12th. Both have been on the beach for a long time. And I think, you know, what keeps Wednesday's season alive is their interest in Sheffield United. CV and myself have been kind of like having discussions about this from time, you know. Obviously Wednesday fans don't want United to go anywhere, so you know, that's what's keeping their season alive. So not really partial about a prediction for that one. City entertain Wolves this evening, 8 o'clock kickoff. CV, if you're listening, give me a prediction. Just send me a quick text if you will, if there's enough time, because it's been like a roller coaster this evening, talking about so many different sports. So Man City fourth in the league, looking to you know, get into that the Champions League. Wolves 13, City playing for Championship League football. Like I said, the first Premiership home game on a Friday since Boxing Day 2020, I think it's 2008, when they smashed Hull City 5-1. What about that for a stat, Mr. CV? I'll be watching this one because I'll be keeping an eye on Tommy Doyle, bought from Man City for 4.3. Blades monitoring the situation. Doyle was kind of like a member on loan from Man City back in the 22-23 season. Will Tommy Doyle be coming to Bramall Lane? That might depend what division they play in next season. You'll be listening to Sweet Talking Sport. If you've enjoyed it, you know, I'm sure you'll be listening to this one again. But for me, I'm out of here.